The scripture today is taken from Proverbs 31, 16 through 20. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out to her hands to the needy. God bless the words of the Lord.
The Armstrongs are a wonderful couple. I want to go ahead and start out by saying that. And it is an absolute blessing to have them here. It really is. I know they're a wonderful couple because I had the privilege of being one of the pastors at Lakeview United Methodist Church before I was appointed here. And I was in a group of pastors there, and we served there and sought to build God's kingdom in whatever way God guided us. But it was because of folks like these two that ministry there is really possible. And it's something that we experienced, and I can speak on behalf of each and every pastor that was there at the time, and that continues to be there at the time. It's because of couples like these that we felt blessed to be serving at that church. It's a real privilege. It's wonderful to see you both again. And I love you, and we love you as well, as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's also a wonderful privilege to have one of our district and conference officers and a conference leader like Carol Armstrong to be able to share our message of hope and good news this morning. So I'd like us all to welcome her to our pulpit. Carol.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, thank you for allowing me to be here on this United Methodist Women's Sunday. It truly is an honor and a privilege. But just for a moment, I'd like to put on my other hat as Central West District lay leader and to tell you how important you are as laity. Now, don't tell Pastor Neil, but if it were not for you, he wouldn't need to be here.
That's true.
But don't tell him, okay? But just know that you are appreciated and you're valued. We are women organized for mission. The total program of United Methodist Women is mission. Mission is community building. Mission is spiritual growth and social action. Mission is acts of charity and acts of justice in a hurting world. The Bible is the basis of our mission theology. In the stories of faith, hope, and love in action, we find there are timeless examples of mission. United Methodist women respond to the Christian call to love one another, to seek justice with one another, and to live lives made whole. United Methodist women see the world through a mission lens. We understand our role as women in mission to be advocates for women, children, and youth and the marginalized in this world. We pray, we learn, we teach, and we act for change in today's injustice-filled world. Through mission work dedicated to changing unjust realities, we embody God's presence in the world. The Bible is filled with stories of women of faith who lived lives of spiritual devotion and reflection. Their stories inspire and challenge us in today's world to live similar lives filled with spiritual devotion, critical reflection, and understanding that the God of our faith is a God of love revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some women of the Bible and see if we can relate to them in our day. These women were women of faith, strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit to be a mission in the world. And of course, we have to think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, first. Because of her virtue, her humbleness, her obedience, and her purity, she was the only woman above all women chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus. And she is the only woman spoken of in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's think about Deborah. Deborah was a prophetess and the only female judge of Israel. People considered her as God's spokesperson. She was the wife of Lebadeth. She belonged to a household, and we can rightly assume it was a household of faith. We do not read that her husband had a problem with the fact that she put God before him, and he did not hinder her service to God in any way. She was of good character, and she had many social roles as a wife, which she capably fulfilled. May we all look to Deborah's example of her love for the Lord, using her gifts and talents and her obedience to the one she loved above all. There were many resurrection women of that day. Women followed Jesus because of the personal healing and wholeness he brought. They supported his ministry with their presence and through their resources. Some of the women followers of Jesus traveled all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem, and it was a mission journey. Although few in numbers, they stood at the foot of the cross, offering solidarity. It was the women who hurried to Jesus' tomb with spices to anoint his body. The risen Christ appeared to the women and gave a mission assignment to Mary Magdalene to go and tell the disciples that Jesus is risen. Priscilla was the wife of Aquila, and she was a worker in Christ, and she was gifted by God in the ministry of the world. She risked her life for the gospel. She taught anyone who would listen about the crucified prophet Jesus, and there was no doubt she was successful. She was so successful, she set up a church in her own home. She and Aquila were the leaders of the growing Christian community, and it was recognized she was the real authority on the teachings of Jesus, and that as such, she felt she had to pass that knowledge on to others. Aquila is mentioned, but in a secondary capacity. It is clear Priscilla was the one in charge here. Now, I did not say, husbands, that you are secondary. I did not say that. I, for one, could not accomplish the things I do if it were not for the backing of my husband, Jack. He is behind me all the way, even though I know sometimes he'd like for me to be a little bit more like Martha, which I am totally not like. But I thank you, Jack, for all the support and love that you give me and all the things that I do. So let's talk about Mary and Martha. Remember, when Jesus was teaching, Mary was sitting at his feet and she was hanging on every word that Jesus said. Martha, of course, was in the kitchen, and she was complaining because Mary wasn't helping her. And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, but there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her." And this is from Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 41. And don't we do that, though? We get so busy. And this is quoting from Max Lucado, who is my favorite author. Being busy is not a sin. Jesus was busy. Paul was busy. All the women I've talked about were busy. Nothing is achieved without effort and hard work, and weariness. That in and of itself is not a sin. But being busy in an endless pursuit of things that leave us empty and hollow and broken inside, that cannot be pleasing to God. In the midst of a busy life on the highway of humanity, it seems the faster we go, the emptier we become. When we're always in a hurry, trying to get ahead, never taking time to pause and reflect, we sacrifice a lot to stay on top. Sometimes it takes hard decisions to bring ourselves into under control and to realign our priorities. But we need to focus on the Father and let everything else take a back seat. In the midst of our busyness, the cross is still there. In the midst of our emptiness, the cross is still there. The promises of Jesus still stand today, and you can claim them in the midst of a busy world. It might take sacrifice, but you can do it. There was Hannah. Poor Hannah could not bear children, but she had the faith to cry out to the Lord, "O Lord of hosts, if you will only look on the misery of your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death." And that child, of course, was Samuel, one of the most influential and godly men in the Bible. Leah was a strong woman. She was the first wife of Jacob, the firstborn daughter of Laban, and the sister of Rachel. Leah is the mother of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, the progenitors of six of Israel's 12 tribes. So many important women in the Bible. Anna, the elderly widow in the temple, Bathsheba, Rebecca, Ruth and Naomi, Miriam, the sister of Moses. The list goes on, and we can learn from each one of them. We also have strong women in our history. Sandra Day O'Connor worked as an assistant attorney general in the 1960s. She was elected to two terms in the Senate, in the Arizona State Senate. In 1981, President Reagan nominated her as a justice of the Supreme Court, and she received unanimous Senate approval. As a justice, O'Connor was a key swing vote in many important cases. She retired in 2006 after serving for 24 years. She was the first woman to serve as a justice in the United States Supreme Court. She was a pioneer force on the Supreme Court and will always be remembered as a swing vote in the court's decision during those years. Hillary Clinton, who just resigned as Secretary of State in the present administration, she ran for president against President Obama. And when she conceded defeat in the primary, she said, "We may not have broken the glass ceiling as the first woman president, but there are 18 million cracks in that ceiling." Mother Teresa of Calcutta is one of my heroines. She said her calling was that she belonged to the world, but that her heart belonged totally to Jesus Christ. She founded the Missionaries of Charity, which in 2012 consisted of over 4,500 sisters, and it is active in 133 countries. For over 45 years, she administered to the poor, the sick, the orphaned, and the dying. And when asked how to promote world peace, she said, go home and love your families. Poverty in the West was a real problem for her. She said, when I see a hungry person, I give that person a piece of bread and a bowl of rice, and I have satisfied that hunger. But a person that has been shut out, that feels unwanted, unloved, terrified, the person that has been thrown out of society, that person is so hurt, that poverty is so hurtable. And that was her word. I like that word. That is so hurtable that she found it very difficult. That's what United Methodist Women are inspired by, the needs of this world, both nationally and internationally, for women, children, and youth. We know that alone we cannot cure the world's needs, but as an organization of 800,000 women, we can and we do make a difference. Another quote from Max Lucado, we should all wear antennas to work, to church, to school. Antennas that pick up on people who seem out of place, where loneliness shows. Why can't we be one to approach those people and extend friendship to them? And maybe you think the last thing you need is another friend, but friendless and hospitality are virtues that bring as much joy to the giver as to the receiver. You don't have to be rich to be hospitable. A wise friend once said, if you won't give hot dogs to people when you're poor, you certainly won't give them steaks when you're rich. We shouldn't let our pride get in the way of hospitality. And since we are speaking of strong women, I bring to you these names. And as I call your name, would you please stand? Mary Jane Ware. Arlene McGuire. She's still sick, isn't she? Jean Stanley. Martha Hunter. Eva Dumont. Jan Butler. Beverly Jepson. Nancy Iverson. Betty Sharp. Phyllis Farmer. Sharon Sharp, Ione Carlson, Betty Jo Hall, Joyce Snay, and Betty Starr. And would all United Methodist women please stand? Yeah, yeah. He is one. He even wanted to be a secret sister in the United Methodist Women. Okay, let's give these strong giving women a hand. And we do thank them for their untiring efforts to change the world. And let me give you some facts about these Gila Mountain women. Undesignated giving that was sent to the district treasurer was almost $500. Local mission, almost $1,700. Local administration and membership development was almost $550, to make a total of almost $3,000. Now that's besides all the work they do. That's just money. They have completed the five levels of mission giving to receive a five-star award, and they have fulfilled their pledge to mission to help the district fulfill their pledge to conference of over $40,000. This is all quite an accomplishment, and they should be very proud of their unit. This is from St. Teresa of Avila. And I know you've heard it before. Christ has no body on earth now but yours. No hands but yours. No feet but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion upon the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he is to bless now. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And to quote Mother Teresa, prayer enlarges the heart until it is capable of containing God's gift of himself. Ask and seek, and your heart will grow big enough to receive him and to keep him as your own. Wherever God has put you, that is your vocation. It is not what we do, but how much love we put into it. Could you please be in an attitude of prayer? Govern all our wisdom, O Lord, so that our souls will do your will, not ours. Do not punish us, we beseech you, by granting that which we wish or ask, if it offends your love. Help us to never think of ourselves as indispensable, but to know that our tasks are to work at the fulfillment of your purposes, not to work them out. Be with us this day as we go about the work of seeing to the needs of women, children, and youth, and to spread your word and make disciples of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.